I was like in first or second grade, attending school in the small to medium-sized city of Mesa, Arizona. You may have heard of it, north of here. My older brother or sisters would usually come by and walk with me home on the way from school, home, which was about a quarter, half mile away. But one day they had stuff going on after school, so my mother in the morning said, Mark, I'll come by and pick you up, after school, and we'll walk home together. Well, school ended, and I come out, and there's a guy who I'd not recognized, and he says, Mark, your mom said I could walk you home today from school. And I'm like, whoa, no, okay, I don't recognize this individual. I had never seen him before in my life, and just a few days earlier, we had been taught about this, stranger danger type thing. Remember that? Okay, stranger danger. So I, of course, yell out, stranger danger, okay. And the guy looks at me and he goes, you don't recognize me, do you? And I said, well, no. I mean, this guy had a beard. And I don't know of anybody who had a beard. I mean, come on. So he says, well, I'm your uncle. I'm your Uncle Lauren. And I'm like, I don't know. My Uncle Lauren, I hadn't seen him for 3 or 4 years. Yeah, but he doesn't have a beard. I mean, this guy was sort of scary looking, all right? And so I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know if you are or not. And he's, I got one thing that will prove to you who I am. And he rolled up his sleeve, and there on the backside of his elbow is this scar. And I can remember my uncle having this scar, some coffee or hot water or something was spilled on him as a kid, and it left this scar on his arm. And I saw that, and it dawned on me. I realized who he was. It was my uncle. Well, that's what Thomas needed, wasn't it? Thomas needed to see the scars. Thomas needed to see that it for sure was Jesus by seeing those nail marks, by seeing those scar, that piercing in his side. Thomas would not believe until he saw the scars. And we get sort of a bum rap about Thomas, don't we? He gets a bum rap, I should say. Because let's face it, when we hear Thomas, what pops into our mind first and foremost is probably doubt. Right? Doubting Thomas, the one who we read again this morning, did not believe in the resurrection. He had those doubts. Unless I see the nail marks, he says, I will not ever believe. And so he gets this reputation, and we use that phrase today, don't we? Now, these young people may not actually use that phrase, but us older people, we do use that phrase, don't we? Doubting Thomas, right? If somebody doesn't take you at your word, well, they're a doubting Thomas, right? But Thomas, if we look at his life, he actually was a great man of faith. And as we break down his life today into four categories or stages of his life, we'll see he's not only a great man of faith, but as I was doing it, I sort of saw my life in the life of Thomas. And those four stages that we'll look at this morning can sort of be maybe similar to your stages in life. And so as we look this morning, those four stages, four categories of Thomas's life, and you don't move in a chronological order, you don't go from one to two to three, you can bounce back and forth into these categories and see if these don't remind you maybe of your life to some degree. The first is this deep, non-fearing commitment. A deep, non-fearing commitment to God, to the Lord. As Thomas says, let us also go that we may rise, that we may die with him. And we'll get a little more context here in just a few moments. But let's go through these four stages. The second one is the one that Thomas obviously is known for, right? The time of doubt. And during a time of doubt, we can even fall away from the Lord. Thomas says, unless I see the nail marks, I won't believe. And a third stage, the life of Thomas and in the life of you, me maybe as well, is a time of confession. A time we make a confession and it finally clicks in our head who Jesus really is. As Thomas says, he's my Lord and my God. And then the final stage is which I hope we will all get to. I hope we all live in this fourth stage, which is being a great witness. is showing our faith as to who Jesus really is, what he really is to us. Well, that first stage, a deep, non-fearing commitment. A little context here as to when Thomas makes this statement, "Let us also go, that we may die with him," in John chapter 11, verse 16. Jesus was there, and then he had just been told that his good friend Lazarus had died. And so Jesus is about ready to go back to Judea, and he tells his disciples that, let's go to Judea. "Don't you remember, Jesus, the last time we were in Judea, the Jews tried to kill you. You want to go back to Judea? You may be killed if you go back there." But Thomas, in his boldness, he says, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Can you see the deep, non-fearing commitment that Thomas has? He's not afraid to die. He's not afraid to give up his life for the Lord. And in a few moments, these young people will say, "Yeah, even unto death, I'm going to keep my faith in the Lord. I'm going to remain true to him." Have you ever had a stage of your walk with the Lord where you just feel so excited? You're just on fire for the Lord. You just feel his presence. You know he's with you. And you're just on cloud nine. You have that spiritual high. For me, it would happen in high school as we'd go on a youth retreat. We'd be off in nature for a few days and just Bible studying and being with other Christians my age. I wouldn't want to come back. I was just feeling this sense of God and just this closeness to the Lord. And I knew he was there in my life. And I knew that I wanted to be committed to him. And we're just feel his presence. Or it happened again on Easter. The church is full. And we hear the grand music. And we sing out those Easter hymns that Jesus has risen. And you just feel his presence. And you just know. And you just want to give him praise and honor and glory. Because you have this glorious feeling inside your heart. But that's what it is, isn't it? It's a feeling. And we know that feelings can come and they can go. And often this feeling is certainly temporary. It doesn't necessarily last. New Christians often get this feeling of this euphoria, this spiritual high. Then after a while, it sizzles down. It dwindles down. The Monday after Easter, reality sets back in. And it's not that spiritual highness anymore because it's a feeling. And feelings are temporary. Thomas certainly had that temporary feeling because then he was in stage two. As we hear from our gospel reading this morning, he goes through a time of doubt. And during that time of doubt, we can actually fall away from the Lord. During the time of doubt, as you may recall, on the Easter night, the disciples were in the upper room, except Thomas wasn't there. Jesus appears to them. Thomas not there. But the other disciples tell Thomas, "Hey, we've seen the risen Lord." Thomas says, "Right. Unless I can place my fingers in the marks of the nails and the side where the spear went through, I won't believe. I won't believe." He was doubting. He was doubting. Have you ever doubted? Now, maybe not about the resurrection, because there's so much evidence. There is so much evidence of the resurrection. But have we ever doubted God about, does he care for us? Is he really there loving us each and every day? As that tragedy strikes in our life, does doubt come in and say, God doesn't really love me? God doesn't really care for me. If he did, why would he let this happen to me in my life? You young folks will have some tragedies. You'll have some difficulties in your life. There may be doubts that pop into your mind that say, God, if you really care for me, why would you let this happen? Why would you allow this to occur? But Jesus doesn't scold us. Jesus doesn't scold Thomas in his doubt. And as we go through life, There's no doubt that we will have doubts. We may have those, you know, does Jesus really love us? Does God really care for us? But he doesn't scold us. He doesn't scold Thomas. He comes to Thomas and he addresses the doubt. You know, I think if it was me and, you know, I was Jesus, that's why I'm not Jesus. I think I would come to Thomas. Come on, Thomas, why wouldn't you believe? Come on, the other disciples told you plain as day that I'd risen. Why didn't you believe? He doesn't. He comes to Thomas in love. And he says, just put your hands here. Put your fingers in my side. I have risen. He addresses that doubt. God will address our doubts for us as well. Touch me, Jesus says. And you know the neat thing is, Jesus touches back. He touches us with his grace. And again this morning, as we come to receive his body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine, Jesus touches us. Jesus touches you with his body and blood and says, take and drink and eat my body and blood. This is my grace. It's poured out for you. It's given to you. I love you. He doesn't scold us. He touches us. He addresses our doubt. And then Thomas went to another stage, the third stage of confession. Thomas touches Jesus. Jesus touches him. Thomas says, my Lord, my God. Now to say my God back then with the Jews, that would have been blasphemy. There was one God. One God. How can Jesus be God? But yet Thomas says, my God. Jesus is both human and divine at the same time. 100% human, 100% divine. And the neat thing is, Thomas says, my God, my Lord. Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is your God. The creator of this universe, of this grand world, is your God. He comes to you and he says, I love you, my child. You are mine, my Lord, my God. Our God is not some distant, faraway God. He's a personal God. And in confirmation, we try to emphasize the fact that Christianity is all about relationships. It's about a relationship, first and foremost, with our Lord and our Savior. That's what Christianity is about, having this intimate relationship with my Lord and my God. If we were the only human on earth, Jesus would have came down, suffered and died for you. He loves us that much. You're his child. Remember that. No matter what life throws your way, we have Jesus as our personal Savior, our personal God. The God of the universe is on your side, and he loves you. He cares for you. And so we make that confession. The young people this morning will renew their baptismal vows. They will confess that Jesus is their Lord. He is their God. And they know that up here. We know that up here too, don't we? We know it in our heads. But how about in our hearts? How about in our hearts? Thomas, after Pentecost, he went out and it was a great witness. He showed his faith. Scripture doesn't give us too much on Thomas, but tradition and the early church fathers tell us that Thomas made great strides into Christianity. He traveled into Cyprus and Crete and North Africa, and tradition even says that he made it all the way to India. And there in India, gave his life for the faith. As he was proclaiming the Lord and Savior, the risen Lord and Savior, they put a spear through his side. And he paid the ultimate price for his faith. God willing, we won't have to do that. But we do want to show our faith. We want to be like Thomas and proclaim that risen Lord and Savior. We want to take that head knowledge that we learned up here, and we want to take it out there to the world. Do all your classmates know what Jesus means to you? That he's your personal Lord and Savior, and he can be their Lord and Savior as well. Does everybody in your workplace know what Jesus means to you? Does the person you play tennis or golf with know what Jesus means to you? Do we show our faith? Do we show our relationship that we have with our Savior, Jesus? And so this morning, we can know that no matter what stage of life we're in, whether we are a stage of euphoria right now, we're just feeling the Lord's presence in our life, or perhaps we're at the opposite end and we're having some doubts. Having some doubts about the love of God. Does he really love us? Does he really care for us? Well, we can know that Jesus is alive. He's alive. He comes to us and he says, I love you. You're my child. I'm giving you my grace in my meal. I love you and will be with you always. So no matter where we are in our life, no matter what the future holds for us, where we are, we know one thing for sure. The Lord goes with us, and he will always be there for us. We can lean upon him in the times of trouble, and we rejoice with him. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, good and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for no matter where we are in our life, no matter what stage we find ourselves in, we know that you are alive and that you love us and that you pour out your grace and your mercy upon us. We pray again for the blessing upon these young folks that they may again show their faith in you as they confess and renew their baptismal vows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.